Morning, staff. Where's Kenny? Oh, he is? Oh, legitimate? Okay. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 18. Are people not working today? People are working today, right? Acts 18. And after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working for by trade, they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean, for now I shall go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and went to the house of a certain man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. The Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or a vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names and your own law, look after it yourselves. I'm unwilling to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from this judgment seat, and they all took a hold of Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. And Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. And Paul, having remained there days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria. And with him were Priscilla and Aquila in Cenchrea. He had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent. But taking leave of them, saying, "I will return to you again, if God wills," he set sail for Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he departed and passed successfully through the Galatian region of Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Amen. This is the end of getting close to the end of the second missionary journey. And so now Paul finds himself in Corinth. He meets two figures that will, you know, pretty much be quite prominent as he continues on his ministry, and it's Aquila and Priscilla, and they were friends. They were tent makers, right? And so now this term is used pretty commonly, most in the church, right? This hardly used outside of the church. And a tent maker was someone that was, you know, vocationally, you know, doing something, but their real goal and purpose was to share the gospel. You know, and so this is, we've used this as a missionary term. These guys at Tent Makers, you know, it's been, some scholars said they actually had a pretty significant business, you know, and the Romans, you know, by which their own buildings and the way they did things and moving around, you're talking about huge, huge tents. You know, it's not like these tents that we have now, you know, that fit, you know, it's three people or eight people. These are huge, huge pieces of architecture, really. And so, you know, a pretty significant kind of business that these guys were having. And, you know, Paul is also one of them, which comes in line with their with the idea of being a Pharisee. right? The Pharisees were kind of unique in this time. And, you know, really outside of Jesus really getting on their case, the Pharisees are actually very, very respected people. You know, these were not the synagogue officials. They were not the Sadducees. You know, they were not part of, you know, the kind of the ruling establishment of the Jews. The Pharisees were actually lay people. They were, you know, regular people like you and me that were married. You know, and that's why, you know, most scholars believe, almost all of them believe that Paul was married and his wife left him. And so when he writes in 1 Corinthians, you know, kind of his words about, you know, marriage and whatnot, are you take it with a grain of salt. You know, that's why he says it's not a command of the Lord. This is basically my opinion. This is what I'm thinking about this matter. And so Paul, you know, he's probably had some wounds there about his wife. But they're also bivocational. In other words, they had a job. You know, they had some way that they fed themselves. Remember, the Sadducees, the synagogue officials, they gained their money through the temple. The Pharisees were totally different. These were very devout men, you know, and they memorized the whole Talmud, right? These guys can almost word for word, and this tradition actually still exists today in many sects of the Orthodox Jews. And so it goes to, you know, say this is kind of where he comes from, his background. And so he's in a synagogue every Saturday, you know, every Sabbath, and he's trying to persuade Jews and Greeks, you know, and then a couple of friends join him there. And they get to a place where, you know, it's just really becomes unfruitful, the ministry does, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of persecution happens, things go on. You know, and so much so that he wants to just quit this whole thing, and the Lord says, no, keep at it, keep going after this thing. You know, which opens up a comment that I want to make. You know, there's something about discernment, right? And when you're doing something and you just keep running into walls, right? Things become very, very unfruitful. You know, that could be the Lord redirecting you to something else, right? That could be God at work saying, you know what, this is really not your purpose. You know, you should actually be doing this, right? And, his Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. But because, you know, he's a Hebrew of Hebrews and, you know, and all these things, he really has a longing to really minister to, you know, the Jews in the synagogue, but he's so unsuccessful, you know, and it's not like, I don't want you to just pinpoint, well, if I'm successful in this, then it goes this way. But, you know, one of the things is that God works through circumstances, you know, God works through, you know, things that happen in our life, and he teaches us things, and, you know, and sometimes we should listen, right? Sometimes in the church, we have a very martyr mentality, you know, that I just have to keep suffering. You know, I just have to keep at this thing because, you know, and sometimes God brings these episodes into our life, you know, to change us and to reroute us into really our higher purposes, right? Which kind of gets to, you know, Apollos now as we go to the end of this. Apollos, you know, he's an intelligent man. You know, the word that's used there when he says that he was an eloquent man, right? The better translation that he was a learned man. He was very intelligent, had a very high education. You know, and it says here that he was fervent in spirit, right? He was mighty in the scriptures, and that he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. And so this is kind of good. But then Priscilla and Aquila take him aside and teach him even more accurately. Right, and this should be a very, very humbling passage for us, right? And that we could be accurately handling the scriptures, or, you know, I'll take it to, you know, to what I talked about before, that we could be, you know, really pursuing God, you know, but yet be a little bit off. I mean, we're still right, but still a little bit off, you know, until God redirects us, or in this case, when Priscilla and Aquila come on the scene, you know, and lead him, and the way it says, and lead him, explain to him the way of God more accurately, the end of verse 26. And so, you know, the other side too, and, you know, the simple commentary is that when we come to the scriptures or to theology or to the things of God, you know, we should just come with the utmost humility, right? Right? I mean, there's things that we can sit there and, you know, and we can gain conviction of some things, and there might be an even deeper meaning or a greater meaning or a totally different meaning, you know, than what we know. And I think there should be an openness and a humility in our hearts to, you know, receive. And in this case, you know, if I want to take you back, if you read in verse 2, we are introduced to Aquila and Priscilla. As we continue on, you know, in this chapter, you notice that in the scriptural writing, whoever is mentioned first is usually the leader, right? You know, we saw that with Barnabas and Paul, and later with Paul and Barnabas. And now we come to, you know, Aquila and Priscilla, and then in the midst of this chapter, it changes, right? Now it's Priscilla who is, you know, the forefront, and Aquila. And this is what a lot of people think is, you know, is that Priscilla actually was the one with the teaching gift, you know, and she was the one that was actually the teacher. It was kind of like the, you know, the husband was more the businessman type, and I could relate to this because this it's just like my parents are the same way, you know, they were missionaries, but my dad was more the business type, you know, and my mom was the one that was actually the teacher. You know, she's the one that was, you know, seminary trained and, you know, and all these kind of things. And it goes to the humility of Apollos as well to actually receive teaching from a woman, you know. And this, I mean, this is a huge topic, you know, in the church and in many different churches. Interesting, I had dinner last night with a couple of SPers, and they were mentioning, you know, because we're talking about women in ministry a little bit, and they're mentioning that, you know, the John Calvin Institute in Switzerland, the actual church that he was at, you know, and the head of his whole organization is actually now run by a woman, you know, which is like a whoa, you know. And I think she was interviewed in this video. And, you know, she said, what do you think John Calvin would think, you know, now knowing that as a female, you know, you are now running his whole operation, you know. And she says something to the effect of, well, you know, I'm sure he's not too happy about it, you know, I mean, if he was alive now, but since he's up in heaven, I'm sure he's changed his mind, right? And which was, I think, was kind of a cheeky response. But, you know, it goes to speak about something. Obviously, at SP, we really don't have a problem with women in ministry, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, and so this is kind of one of those passages of Scripture, you know, that points to the, you know, the importance of women, you know, in the church and in teaching and, you know, and doing these kind of things. Chapter 18 is also the bridge that goes into the third missionary journey, you know, and that's kind of what we have here that's continuing to go on. And so let's close our eyes, and it's kind of a simple passage today. Let's pray this morning about discernment. So Pastor, how do you know when I'm keep hitting a wall that I'm not supposed to knock the wall down? How do we know that when we are hitting the wall that God has got something else in mind? You know, there's no formula. It's intimacy with Jesus. Andrew Murray says that God doesn't lead us and then not lead us. He's always leading us. It's perpetual. And one of the greatest needs of the church these days is discernment. And so as Monica leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord and just pray to that end.
praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Things in the past, things yet unseen,
pray this morning. Let's pray for clarity. Let's pray for understanding. Let's pray for wisdom. And let's pray that we in the church, we'd have discernment. You know, when God is closing a door, that we recognize and go to the other door. Also, sometimes that there may be doors closed that we may need to knock down. You know, in that we would always see God's higher purposes. And let's pray for ourselves and for the church, that we would always move in discernment over our lives. Let's minister to the Lord. Let's pray for our community. Now let's continue to lift up Charles and his father. Let's pray for Krista's aunt, breast cancer, Alex's dad, stomach cancer, Janine. She goes through chemotherapy. For Matthew Doble's aunt, for my aunt, Janella's grandma, Kian's mom. Continue to pray for full restoration for Belinda. Pray for Alan Lunsford over a stroke, for Misun's dad and her tumor. He had the surgery. Tumor's gone. It's benign, and he's doing well. He's reconnected with God, and so, you know, really praise the Lord for that. Let's pray for Katie's heart. She told me yesterday she got healed. And so pray for, you know, that the doctors confirm that in her life. Let's continue to pray for Kim's niece, Lizzie, who's kind of taken a turn for the worse. Let's continue to pray for the Wagners and for Connie's aunt with breast cancer. Let's lift up Leanne Lim. She's in Taiwan right now, and she's feeling a lot of tightness around her uterus, and so she felt like the baby's already dropped. She's only 5 months pregnant, and so let's really just continue to pray for her. Today, Joyce is going to be induced, and so let's pray for a good delivery. You know, induced is not such a bad thing, and so Lisa was induced with Elise, so it's just a common regular thing, and so let's just pray for a good delivery today, and that she would be healthy and the baby would be healthy. Let's also pray for Mark Starn, Sujin, John Kang, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's ask the Lord to provide for them work. Let's lift up our community. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. Now let's lift up Pastor O, especially as he finishes his PhD, help him to finish well. Let's pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang. I pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage, for Grace and at Bloom. Let's also lift up the Philippines and for Solomon's Clinic. I'll pray for Elder Chang. And let's lift up Bhutan as well. And John Lee is making a trip there with my friend Tom Bonner. And so let's just lift up their team, their basketball team, before the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for the IP team, for Cascade and The Well. Let's lift up Matt and Leanne and Larry. Let's ask the Lord's hand to be with all the members, and you know, as they give their time and sacrifice their efforts, that they would see incredible fruitfulness and people being healed emotionally, spiritually, physically, that God would really increase their gifts and their knowledge. And really use them in just a powerful way to cover our church and to bring healing into our church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for just this time we get to have together as a church to pray, to go through the scriptures, Lord, to hear your heart, God, over matters of our lives and over our community. Lord, we just ask for a blessing today, God, to be equipped and to walk in the knowledge of God, Lord, that we would, Lord, move in just incredible discernment, Lord, in what you're asking us to do, what you're speaking to us about. And so, Holy Spirit, come and use us today in a powerful way. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.